AGP or whatever. Are you ready? Okay. I'd like to call this meeting, a special meeting of the Board of the Cambria Community Services District, to order. Would all please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you very much. There is a quorum. It's a kind of a small quorum today. I just got a note just a few minutes ago from the general manager that Mr. Thompson is not going to be able to attend. Is that due to a medical issue?
Yes, yes.
Okay, as we know, Michael's wife has some issues, and it was certainly justified. I also was notified a couple of minutes ago that Director Rice took it upon herself to go to the another meeting. There's a meeting in Slo County, and the agenda item right after 1:30 is going to be where the board is going to consider sending up their requests for emergency funding to the state. And one of the items that the board is highly recommending and putting forward is the Cambria project, and there's earmarked about
position for them to clearly understand how important this project is and the grant funding is for the community. So
right.
That's been well communicated to everybody there.
Okay. And in that vein, I had an email exchange with Director Rice, where she had a whole group of issues that she wanted to make sure are covered in the budget discussion, and I will try and address those. But she felt it was important to have representation there, and so she is absent. But we do have a quorum. This is a special meeting, so members of the public wishing to address the board on any item described in this notice, which is the budget, can comment. Do we have any? I do have one. And by the way, welcome back. I have a public comment for Ms. Tina Dickinson.
Good afternoon, Board. Tina Dickinson, Cambria. It was awfully nice and green and wet in England, and I wished I could have sent some of that wonderful rain over, but unfortunately, that's not the way things work. I don't see legal counsel. I guess he's at this same meeting. I have a question. First of all, I've been questioned by the media as to whether I will be involved in a 218 protest. I can say at this point that Cambrians for Change will not formally be mounting a protest, but that's not to say that members of Cambrians for Change individually won't. Or other people in the community. What about this protest form? And so I have one, and I would like for it to be certified by the CCSD to make sure that there are no discrepancies with the form itself, because the last thing we need is for a lawyer, as we've had in the past, when I've collected 650 signatures, to say, we can't accept that form. So I've said, okay, and then you sign off on your protest form, and I will be happy to go back and get the 650. Okay. So that's incredibly important. So I'm going to turn this in for public
please
record.
Please bring that next Tuesday or at a regular meeting. Your comments,
no,
your
I
comments
want
are to be the subject of the budget.
Do you,
it's a special meeting today.
President Barringer,
yes,
we have a 45-day window. I am not going to wait. I thought Mr. Carmel would be here at a board meeting. That's not my problem that he isn't here. I would ask that the acting the Administrative Services Officer acting here as District Clerk, make sure that
please,
this is
please
cleared.
Please turn it into the clerk.
I'll turn it in for public record.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. That was all I have to say, a public comment.
Okay. Okay, without any further comment, I would like to turn this over to the general manager.
Thank you, President Berenger and board members. I'd like to thank the Budget Ad Hoc Committee, comprised of Vice President Robinette and Director Cliff, for really helping us in the budget process. I'd also like to thank Interim Finance Manager Tracy Fuller. Historically, what we do is bring a draft budget to the board for consideration in May. And because we have so many things going on right now with the emergency water supply and the Prop 218 and everything else, that process was delayed to further complicate issues. Have a new finance manager who has jumped right in and has done a great job. This budget reflects the reduced revenues that we've experienced not only this year, but what we project to expect next year, based on the Stage 3 drought contingency emergency and the conservation measures that we put in place. So what I'd like to do is I'd just like to, if it's okay with the president, just read the staff report. And then I would like to, as the second thing we do, is turn it over to Tracy. She has a brief PowerPoint presentation. The third thing is, once we're done with that, I'd like to have her come back and go over the spreadsheet she's given you. Then we can go in, I can go into the individual departments' budgets one by one and just talk briefly about revenues and expenditures for those departments. And I think it's important that we tie in, even though we adopt our goals in January, I'd like to tie in just at some point in the discussion the three goals that under President Berenger's leadership we adopted. And where we are in these projects, I think that we've, considering everything else we have going on, we've done a really good job on these three goals. And then just kind of bring it back to the board for discussion. So that's kind of a format I'd like to follow to our best ability possible to head towards our next generation of meter replacement. I would like to talk about maybe putting those on hold until next year and give you some reason why, and replace those with three projects that I originally removed for the budget. It would be a wash money-wise, $80,000, but I didn't realize that some of the things that I eliminated from his budget in the water department were directly related to the emergency water supply as it relates to SCADA. And so he told me in clear language yesterday that I need to put these back into the budget. And so I also came up with the money that would offset the cost. So if I could, let me just go ahead and read this today. And it's the recommendation from staff is to receive the preliminary 2014-2015 CCSD budget and presentation and provide direction to the staff. The fiscal year 2014-2015 CCSD preliminary budget establishes the CCSD plan for total anticipated revenues of approximately $7 million and expenditures of $7.5 million. This difference currently projected at $85,417 will need to be funded out of the available fund balance. The budget being presented has been produced in a compressed timeline due to the demands placed on staff in responding to priority projects relating to the emergency water supply project. The priority projects of the emergency water supply project, the rate study, and the required finance unassociated with the project have impacted finance staff particularly heavy. Therefore, this budget is being characterized as a rough draft in order to daylight the fact that some of the normal checking and double checking that is part of the budget development process, budget plan, and its then state of development. Their advice and counsel of the committee has been incorporated herein. Attached is a preliminary budget for 2014-2015 for review. Key assumptions and highlights are included in the preliminary budget. The most significant assumptions are as follows. Property tax revenue growth is projected to be 2.1% over the projected revenue in the fiscal year 2013-2014. In other words, we're going to see a 2.1% increase compared to last year. This budget reflects a projected decrease in water sales of $271,891 and a related decrease in wastewater sales of $266,349 from last fiscal year. This is a direct result of the drought and the consequential severe curtailment of districts' ability to produce water to sell. The impacts of this fact can be seen throughout the entire district's delivery service delivery plan as it reflects in the budget. Another assumption is this budget impact has been absorbed through an aggressive management of all estimated expenditures in all departments, not just the water and wastewater departments. The net decrease in expenditures across the district's department is approximately 13%. Personnel costs consisting of salaries and wages, payroll taxes, workers' compensation, insurance, and employee benefits are based on the terms of the existing memorandum of understanding, and they reflect the actual rates for the cost of living adjustments, retirement, and payroll taxes. Workers' compensation insurance increases are estimated pending receipts of the carrier's fiscal year 14-15 quote and invoice. Healthcare premiums are projected to increase by 4% this next fiscal year. So it's a tight budget. Next is my my general manager's summary of the budget. It's a little more in detail. I'm not going to read it. It's about four pages long. I encapsulate what I've said earlier in the general manager's report, but it also goes into a little bit more detail. One thing I want to point out really quickly is this budget is probably more transparent than it ever has been before. You can see that there's several line items added into the budget as far as expenditures compared to last year, what we're proposing, expenditures for this year. So it gives the board and their policy-making decisions a lot better understanding of where we are financially from a revenue and expenditure perspective. But if you go into the different department expenditures also, it's a much more detailed summary. In the past, what we've done is we've given you a category, and within that category of expenditures within the departments, the descriptions, if you will, have been fairly vague. And we've gone the extra mile to really include as many line items as we can to really give you an understanding of where the expenditures are particularly going. And then when we get to the wastewater department, we'll show that we've listed all the lift stations by name instead of just having a general category that says wastewater. We list all the lift stations by name and the work that we're going to be doing in those areas. So with that, I'll turn it over to Tracy Fuller, our interim finance manager, and she's going to, I don't know how if she wants to go over the PowerPoint first or go over the spreadsheet that she's, the story sheet she's come up with.
PowerPoint first, and so here it is. Thank you, and I will go over the detailed spreadsheet that the general manager has talked about. I did provide copies out in the lobby and handed a few out to those who were here early enough. So if you don't have a big spreadsheet with lots of numbers on it, you should find one out in the lobby there. So I'd just like to begin by running through the revenues. The revenue picture for the district at this point stands at a projection of about $7.3 million, broken out between three funds. You have, of course, a general fund comprised of the fire department, the facilities and resources department, parks and recreation department, and administration. And then you also have two enterprise funds, the water fund and the wastewater fund. So the water fund, as we can see, and the wastewater fund are both going to be at about $1.8 million, $1.7 for fire, facilities and resources at about $533,000, parks and recreation at approximately $19,000, and administration at $1.4 million. The expenditures, of course, mirror the revenues to the degree possible. The water fund, $1.8, approaching $1.9 million. Wastewater, $1.9 million. Fire department, $1.7 million. Facilities and resources, again, $533,000. Parks and recreation department, $19,000. And administration, again, at $1.4 million. General fund very flat for many years in the general fund. The general fund is comprised of some tax revenues, property taxes, and what are franchise fees, which technically are a fee but are generally categorized with taxes since it is a fee paid in lieu of a tax by a monopoly, a franchisee. The other items generally are user fees, and the district has several of those. I'll go into some detail on those later. Diving into the detailed spreadsheet, I wanted to run through a few of these things so that we could sort of see the history. What I've done is I've gone back to 2005, which gives us 10 years worth of data, more or less, to look at, just so that I can understand what your big trends are in your major revenue areas and, of course, your expenditure areas. And that really is the purpose of this exercise, is to be able to give someone like me and, of course, folks like you, the big picture of what's really been happening with the district, so that we can understand if there are implications for the future, or if there are things that we're doing differently now that, you know, maybe we need to revisit how we did them in the past. So one of the things that you'll notice when looking at this spreadsheet is that, as Mr. Gruber mentioned, property taxes and assessments are projected to increase by 2.1% this year over last. You'll notice that grant revenue, which is something the district traditionally has received a fair bit of. The other item underneath that, weed abatement, it's my understanding that we did see large revenues for a period in this area in 2007 and 2008 that reflected a couple of things. Number one was an increased effort to engage in weed abatement activities, and also a higher rate. I guess it was a $400 fee that has been reduced to a $200 fee, and that coupled with the fact that we now have a population of a citizenry that is very proactive in weed abatement and anticipates this as an annual thing, so we don't see the revenue sources there anymore, but that's a good thing. People are doing a good job with that. Franchise fees, I've mentioned, going on to uses of money, which is basically interest income and revenues from that nature. And you'll see that it's a lot less. That's a combination of two things. When you have less money, you have less opportunity to earn anything off of it. And we certainly have less money in the bank at this point. And we also have sort of the macro reality of very, very, very low interest rates. So there really is no yield to be had out there. I think that LAIF, which is considered sort of the gold standard for most governmental agencies, you never want to chase yield with public money. So most small agencies put the largest chunk of their cash assets in LAIF, local agency investment fund run by the state of California, a quarter of a percent right now. So there isn't a lot of opportunity. You'll also see a related decrease in the revenues here. And finally, other is sort of a catch-all for anything that the auditors probably couldn't figure out exactly how to categorize in some better place. And as you can see, it's dribbling down to nothing because everyone's doing a better job of categorizing the revenues that we get. We're not getting odd revenues. On the expenditure side, you'll see general government administration, $1.4 million. I've gone through these numbers, fire, Parks and Rec, facilities, resource conservation, and I just think that there's some value here in looking at where these departments have been through time. You can see that general government has actually been fairly flat. It has bounced around a little bit, but is generally fairly flat and represents a decrease over last year's budget. Fire has also been bouncing around a little bit, but fairly flat. This year, it is uniquely the one department where we see an increase, and that is a direct result of their having to absorb a greater percentage of overhead. As the water fund and wastewater funds are contracting in response to the water emergency and the decrease in sales, those departments get smaller, those funds get smaller, and so they are paying for a smaller percentage of overhead relationally. But I'll get into this in another slide here in a minute. The way that the district traditionally has distributed property taxes mitigates this impact for fire. So I'll get into it in a minute, but I don't want you to think it's considerably less. This also is a function of overhead. Because they have so little expenditures projected for next year, they are sharing in a smaller percentage of overhead also. Where fire is having to pay for more overhead, Parks and Recreation is paying for less overhead. And resource conservation. Resource conservation is kind of the most stable department in the general fund, and you'll see that it's projected just a bit under last year, again, with respect to the general manager's instructions to all department heads to dial back all expenditures as much as possible and by at least 10%. So going on, I just wanted to daylight the property tax trend. And the very bottom row is, or colored line, is the franchise fees. You can barely see it, but it's the little sort of aqua blue line down there at the very, very bottom. And the thing that is, if I could just talk about elastic versus inelastic revenue sources for a moment. Generally speaking, most agencies try to put together a complement of elastic and inelastic revenue sources in an effort to stabilize their revenue picture from downturns, but leave themselves open to upturns or upticks in the economy also. So let's define those terms. Inelastic revenue sources, property taxes, and franchise fees. Property taxes are very inelastic because they're governed by Prop 13 and the downstream legislation that flows out of Prop 13. Taxes contract horribly either, so it's considered sort of the most inelastic revenue source from that perspective. Franchise fees, also very similar. Very elastic revenue sources, you don't have a lot of those here, obviously. In fact, you don't have sales tax, you don't have transient occupancy taxes, you don't have admissions taxes. You just have this category of things called user fees. And user fees are in your organization are primarily coming into your water fund and your wastewater fund, your enterprise funds. And that's where you should see some sensitivity to the realities of the market in the form of when your expenses increase, you would expect to see a rate study, a related rate increase, et cetera. You may do things a little differently around here, but generally speaking, we would expect to see the revenues in water and wastewater tracking along kind of with the cost of providing those services in a predictable way. Property taxes, I mentioned that the distribution of property taxes takes place within the general fund. It only takes place within those departments that are contained within the general fund: fire, facilities and resources, parks and recreation, and administration. And it is my understanding, and I am in no way married to this methodology, but it is my understanding that the methodology for distributing property taxes or deciding who needs what is that it is distributed amongst fire, facilities, resources, and parks and recreation. Probably the only place you can, you know, find something interesting on that chart is if you look at administration. Clearly, property taxes have gone up, but administration's share of property taxes has gone down because fire, facilities, and resources, and parks and recreation needed more property taxes to balance their budgets. And that kind of drives us into looking at the detailed revenue line items in those individual departments, which we'll do later. Actually, we'll do that now. So just taking us back to this big picture again, I do want to talk about the general fund balance a little bit. And I want to talk a little bit about the fact that the organization has tended to use the word reserves. And I am going to gently, over a period of many months, try to abandon the use of the word reserves and replace that word with general fund balance, fund balance. But I want to explain to you where that came from and kind of the why, so that you'll understand why I'm migrating the terminology that I'm using. So reserves in this organization has been the number that exists in our LAIF bank account. We've called that reserves. The reason why we've called that reserves is lost to the sands of time, but it appears to me that it was a practice that was put into place in at least 2004 or earlier by your external auditors, who for whatever reason chose to, in their financial statement notes, put the title reserves on your, used it as a proxy for, you've used your bank account balance as a proxy for reserves, and reserves technically should really be a reserve of your general fund balance, and you've used the word reserve as a proxy for your fund balance. So you might obviously want to know, well, what are my fund balances? And frankly, I don't know what your fund balances are because there's a little bit of work that goes into generating that information. And I'm in the midst of doing it. Generally, your fund balance is calculated by having your auditors calculate from, you know, your audited financial statements. What's my fund balance last year? I would net out your revenues and expenditures for this year, any anticipated anomalies associated with this year, and be able to project a fund balance for June 30th. It's something that we only perfectly and absolutely identify in an agency this size once a year on June 30th. Larger agencies certainly would do a better job of it quarterly, maybe even monthly, and we can certainly get close, but it'll always be an estimate because it is something that requires the auditors to do their final adjusting entries to perfect. But when we're talking about taking money out of reserves, we really ultimately want to be talking about taking money out of our fund balance. And that really kind of drives us into understanding the composition of our fund balance and reserving some portions of it for things like economic uncertainty, anticipated events, actuarial studies that you may need to set money aside for, and so forth. And another complication, unfortunately you're going to hear me use those terms all sort of interchangeably, but it's my hope under the general manager's direction to be back in August or September with a specific conversation about a true reserve policy so that we can have that conversation about the same time that the auditors will be showing up to do their work, and we can get an audit statement that then has some categorization of your general fund balance that you have approved and directed. And we'll put and we'll you know, drive that into the audited financial statements for June 30th, 2014. 14. This fall we'll be auditing June 30th, 2014. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No. Good question. So going back to the fund balance, you might recall that I've been very concerned about the fund balance because we do have an emergency water supply project, the costs of which will exceed our ability to fund it. So we'll be required to finance it in order to complete it. And that financing will not be put in place in the absence of the lender being satisfied with water rates. So just giving you a chance to look at a bar chart. I know that I've produced bar charts like this for water and wastewater that you have seen within the context of the rate study presentations. I just wanted to give you one for the general fund too. You'll see that the rightmost columns are perfectly in balance. Your general manager has done a fabulous job of absolutely making sure those two functions, since they are very, very large parts of your budget. You'll notice that your revenues in the water fund are going from 1.9 almost down to 1.8. This is a direct result of decreasing water sales. And the wastewater fund revenues look like they're going up, and I'm surprised, and I'm wondering if that's the right number. Let me just take a moment. Does it look right? Is that right? I'm sorry. I've been doing this so quickly. Yeah, I'm going to wastewater. Just want to make sure I'm not misinforming the world. 193. Yes. Oh, okay, here's why. When you did your mid-year forecast on wastewater, you reduced. So originally your wastewater fund was up over $2 million, almost $2.1 million. You reduced the revenue projection for wastewater at the mid-year down to this 1.7, which is why kind of, whoa, am I looking at the right thing here? You have made an effort in both of these funds to respond to your water emergency, and that was reflected in your mid-year budget forecast, and these numbers do reflect that mid-year budget forecast number. The expenditure side of the water fund, $2.2 million, going down to just under $1.9 million, and your wastewater fund tracking along at $1.9 to $1.9 from year, in the year-to-year comparison. You heard me mention the decreasing water sales, and you have seen this chart before. We do know that we had a comparison for March and April of 2014 compared to the budget that gave us some in 15. And here is that same figure drilled into a 8-month period or 7-month, 8-month period that we had at the time that we produced this information. Again, we use this contraction to project water sales and wastewater sales in the FY15 budget. So looking at your water fund, again, your general manager has worked very hard to bring these two funds into balance, the water fund and the wastewater fund. And he's had to do that through a combination of decreasing operations, but also really taking a very hard look at your infrastructure or your capital improvement list. And I realize you can't see this, and the point of this is really just to reiterate the fact that you have this big, long list of unmet capital needs, and it continues to be of great concern to your water and wastewater staff and to your general manager. Your general manager has put into this operational budget for FY15 only things which he has determined to be the most critical, necessary, or having the opportunity to achieve some cost savings. If you want to go through the line items in the budget, he can talk about those things in greater detail. And that'll conclude my PowerPoint presentation.
Would it be possible, General Manager, to go back one, just
yes,
to yeah, support the rates that haven't, the water and wastewater fund? Mm-hmm. So this is the big difference, I think, that, you know, we've come to believe.
Mm-hmm.
We already had the rate study underway.
Mm-hmm.
We have operated for many years doing this, but it's obviously not the right way to go. It's not illegal, actually, for us to take rate funds and apply it to the Fiscalite Ranch or something like that. However, it's not illegal, but it's not smart to continue to use general funds to support water and wastewater rates, and that's where you had an issue. So I just wanted to point that out, that in a way by not having the appropriate water and wastewater rates in place, we were always dipping into the fund.
Yeah.
And only through the efficiencies that I think happened in the last few years by the general manager and using essentially general funds to do some very much needed infrastructure repairs, has this been going on in a way without us adjusting the rates. But we need to adjust those rates in due course.
That
was a summary to me.
Yeah. I didn't go into it in great detail here. I sort of glossed past it a little bit. But the reason why I put this slide in at all is just to remind everybody that if I actually brought you the GASB definition of an enterprise fund, it would say that the commitment on the board's part is that that fund be a self-balancing set of accounts that pays for itself, that doesn't require subsidy of general fund taxes, et cetera, and I would be happy to, you know, bring that up against the definition of what an enterprise fund is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a business-type activity and not require a lot of subsidy of general fund taxes. And let's remember that in the general fund, those functions that are supposed to be receiving those general fund taxes are fire, parks and recreation, and resource and facilities. So to the extent that you take property taxes or franchise fees and put them in water or wastewater to write down those rates or to provide subsidized rates in those areas, you do take money away from those general fund supported departments. It's right. A choice, legal, it's okay, but you need to, everybody needs to understand that that's what's happening.
Right. And because we're talking about the budget, it gives me an opportunity to actually talk about this, and is that, you know, I've noticed, I've only been here for 15 years, so, but I've noticed that over the years, the CCSD is getting more and more responsibilities. We have a ranch now that to maintain. We have lights. We never even had lights. Trash can. Well, trash is a franchise fee. But we have these other things that the community wants, and the community wants a bigger and greater fire department. It's been growing and growing, but we haven't grown in property tax. We likely will not from a percentage perspective. So the community needs to come to grips with, yes, water and wastewater, we need a rate adjustment, but maybe at a future time, maybe outside this emergency time, but certainly in the next year, I would hope that we would also come together as a community and say, do we want to get a start trying to maintain the forest?
And thank you all for an extremely well-defined overview and presentation on where we stand today. I think it was extremely comprehensive, well presented, and I just simply want to say that that I thank you for that. We'll talk more.
We have two members of the ad hoc budget committee here, and I'm getting to see this for the first time, and I read it. I was on a trip, and I did read it on the plane and took a look at it again this morning. And I think it is relatively clear, and I think your summaries are good. I do have, Director Rice did have a group of questions, and so some are pretty good ones, and Tammy, I can get you to help us on what you've seen in other places. Director Rice wanted to know what the board-approved policy is and how property tax revenue is split among departments. You had a nice chart that said, we just kind of do it ad hoc and so on and so forth. I like the idea of it being needs-based, but perhaps you can share some of your experience with other agencies on how they go and do that, split that general fund up.
That is not, how you're doing it is not an uncommon method, very common. Many agencies choose, it's general fund taxes, it goes into the general fund, and it's just a big pot of money to be spent on general fund departments. That's a very common thing that is done. Another approach, which is all rec will always get 2% of the property taxes or some arbitrary number that usually has a basis in history, tends to be the right amount of money, and that style is often used to kind of contain an 800-pound gorilla. If you have one department that tends to cannibalize everything else, that's a way of keeping the 800-pound gorilla from eating up the whole meal of property taxes, if you will, eating up the whole feast of property taxes, the whole, the meager, maybe in a public setting I'd use the cookie crumbs, the crumbs, whatever you want to think of it. That is not a bad way to go. It's not a bad way to contain your 800-pound gorilla. And sometimes you have a department that has a lot of political juice, and so that makes sense. I've actually seen that done with when you have a police department, a fire department, and an economic development department or a tourism development department, which tends to represent the business community. And so you have a lot of business people who are very interested in seeing the agency take on marketing tasks and so forth on its behalf. The downside of that, there's the good thing about it, obviously, is that it does give your manager and your board a way of sort of establishing a pattern and keeping that department to that pattern and not letting them use their political might to cannibalize everything else. The bad part of it is that your power to appropriate things exactly as you see fit, the general manager's power to make those recommendations exactly as he sees fit. So there's a trade-off, and there is no right answer to that. It's just, it truly is what you decide is best for your community.
Thank you. Yeah. And probably if we were to, if the community were to want to have additional resources applied to the forest or applied to the ranch or applied mm-hmm. to certain things, that certainly can go into the dialogue that goes up to mm-hmm. potentially change that. Yeah. Another one I think that Director Rice, I think it would be best handled by you, is that how will the recently noticed rate increase for their emergency water supply be folded into the budget if it's approved?
Sure.
Is that where maybe Mr. Gruber, you can
Well, we out? Can, we didn't, again, you never project revenues based on what you may receive. So in this budget, it doesn't reflect any increases. So if the Prop 218 goes through, and when the Prop 218 goes through, I think it's important that we bring back a budget adjustment, and if I'm missing something, help me out, a budget adjustment that reflects the expenditures allocated for that project up there, because they're not included in here. So you have an area for expenditures, but you also have an area for the revenue part of it to also reflect any adjustments that the board may feel is appropriate based on grant funding that we may be getting and those type of things. So again, this document is something that can be changed, but not only as part of the mid-year budget process, but with all those moving parts. So it's a very good question, and when those things happen and when we start to see those revenues. I hope that answered Director Rice's question.
There's two others that I think you can, Mr. Gruber, address, and I think you have the sheet in front of you. One is, why is there zero budgeted for the rate study? I think I know that answer. But
that's a really good question, and we've contracted with Bartle Wells as part of the 2013-2014 budget to conduct a rate study. Originally, the scope of that rate study was to adjust water and wastewater rates as it related to our needs, our operational needs, our capital needs. But since he is now the focus on that emergency water project is his highest priority, we do not want to put an arbitrary number into the budget, whether it be $20,000 or $30,000, and say we're going to give that to a consultant when Tracy and I feel fairly comfortable that we can negotiate with Bartle Wells. The majority of the footwork has been done already for the existing rate study. It will need some tweaking or slight modification, but it doesn't necessarily warrant budgeting a large amount of money for him to do something that's pretty much already been done. Now, if there's a couple grand change order or something like that, then we can address that at this time, but not just to throw $30,000 or $40,000 into something, because most of the work's already been done.
Very prudent. And surcharges, did we address that yet? Why their budget is the same amount for next year's budget as compared to the mid-year?
You want to try handling that one, or I'll let Monique handle that one, Wolf?
Yeah, surcharges. Please explain why you budgeted the same amount for surcharges in next year's budget as compared with the mid-year budget. That was a detail that I missed, but.
To be paralleled in 2015, sort of the same amount of time, we were fairly comfortable with keeping that. We might have rounded it, you know, in 2015, so it wasn't such a perfect parallel. But the fact is that we do expect that the first batch of surcharge revenue that was received with the first billing period will be the highest. And it'll trail quickly as people get those surcharges and react to them. And, ooh, I need to conserve here and there, and what do I need to do to get rid of this surcharge? People are doing that. We saw that with the second billing cycle, right? We're seeing that with the second billing cycle, and we expect that will continue.
Okay.
Does that?
Also, it's one of the most difficult parts in running enterprise funds in water and wastewater is really projecting revenues. It's easy to project your expenditures, but you have to make some assumptions, and essentially that's what we did with these surcharges. Whether they were the most mathematical perfect assumptions? No, but we had to make some assumptions. And just like we had to make assumptions for water sales, and we had to make assumptions for wastewater sales in 2014, 2015, and we did that based on trends that we saw occurring since the board put the Stage 3 conservation measures into place. So those revenues that we projected for this coming year are really based on January through December's billing cycles of last year, July through December. So you have to just kind of look at what your billing history is shown, what your production history is shown, and
is the best we know to believe is going to happen to ensure that we're going to have a budget that is balanced, that we're going to have the services we need. But I agree with you. It is that I think you've built in a budget too that does have flexibility depending on the rate increases, depending on grants, which will, you know, change the picture in a very positive way too.
And if I could, President Berenger, if I could just spend, if it's the board's pleasure, but just spend a few minutes going through the budget pages. I don't want to, a lot of the information was shown on the board, but I want to make sure there's just a few things I want to touch on.
Sure, please do.
If we could start on page 9 of the budget. This is the organizational chart, and this is something we already include. I'm sorry, was there?
No, I had a comment on the org chart.
Org chart, but you want to go ahead and make it first so I can?
Yeah, I noticed that utilities, water systems, and water systems supervisor is under the district engineer.
Well, actually, we've eliminated the utility manager position.
Right.
And what we'll be bringing to the board at the 26th meeting is recategorizing, if you will. There'll be water supervisor and a wastewater supervisor. It'll be with existing staff. So when you see on page 9 utilities, that's not a position, that's just a department. And so they answer directly to Bob Greshens. Now, you're probably going, how in the heck can Bob handle anything else?
And that was my comment.
and the answer is he can't. But I think it's important that I'm actively involved in operations out in the field. But what I think is important is the communication factor, and that breaks supervisors in each of those departments. But Bob is communicating, and then Bob also is directing those capital projects, because you know you go into a lift station, you spend $100,000, and the operators, the supervisors, or you're improving your SR1 well or something like that, and the supervisors out in the field are doing the best what they think they can do. But there's some engineering components. So this goes back about 2 years ago. I had this structure set up that way. So just really quick, what we're doing is we're also combining the administrative services officer position, which is Monique, and the district clerk position. But if you see over here if you go right down below the general manager, you'll see administrative services officer / district clerk. Those are going to be combined into one position, but in all fairness, we have to be able to give that individual some support staff, because now she's going to be running two departments, and so she'll have a confidential administrative assistant. But if you go down below that, you're seeing that we are again combining, and this is resource driven. I mean, this is resource driven, and we have a certain amount of resources, and we have to be able to build our business model accordingly. So the billing and conservation, you know, you're probably going, how can the billing person take on, and I don't want to get into the details of the operation. We have all these things worked out. We have them discussed. We have a plan, believe it or not. The billing and conservation, some of the things will come off the billing desk, and what we're proposing, and this is the concern of Director Rice is too, that we're not having an aggressive conservation program. So I think a compromise to that is funding that position 50%. So we're going to have a part payroll in employee salaries, but it would also save money in benefits. They do get a partial benefit package, but not fully burdened like a 40-hour a week. Then if you drop down, we're going to an admin tech 1 office support to 16 hours a week. You drop over to finance, of course we have a full-time administrative technician, the payroll benefits person. She's doing a fantastic job. Chris has just jumped in with both feet and has done a great job. But again, in support of that department, administrative technician one is a 16 AR, which is accounts receivable, is a 16-hour week position. It's not a 40-hour position anymore. And administrative technician two, which is AP and bank recs, is 16 hours a week. So you're seeing several key positions being being consolidated or eliminating. Fire is staying the same in pretty much all the other departments. So just really briefly, eliminating the utility manager position, consolidating the administrative services officer and district clerk position, and making and taking the position of the conservation coordinator at this point in time based on resources, and reducing that to 50%, and then reducing some of the clerical administrative staff within the office that supports customer service and finance, and reducing those positions down to a variation of 28 hours a week to 16 hours a week. Historically, if you look, we have a total of 40 employees. We have full-time equivalents of 26.9 with a part-time of 8, and you have about 30.
Yeah. Defend that even greater. And I noticed that the a lot of the work, just to, for the public to understand, there's a lot of information on the website. I had constituents talk to me about, gee, you know, what about this and what about the CDM report and so on and so forth. And I went on the website myself and found a lot of things there, including a frequently asked questions section that I think Mr. Gray created, and I think that that was useful. And I think it's useful to keep the website up to speed. And I noticed that a group of excerpts were taken from right off the web. And you know, if people are concerned to go to the website, I think there's a lot of information. If you see broken links or something, send us an email. But yeah, I appreciate that's kind of information being out there. But do the other directors feel that they need to drill down into greater detail?
Yeah, let me.
And maybe if you want, just go instead of me going through page by page. If you know, I know that you've studied this very closely. If you have any questions regarding the different departments, maybe Tracy or Monique or myself can answer those. I mean, it's just. Whatever the board's pleasure is, what I really want to focus on is if you look off to the right, you'll see a whole lot of red. A whole lot of red means these are reductions in the amount that those line items have been reduced by previous budgeted years, this was strategic, really. I mean, it wasn't just I'm going to arbitrarily do this. This was a lot of thought. This is probably the 10th or 12th draft at staff level of these reductions. From an administrative standpoint, we need to establish some guidelines regarding rebates and just come up with an administrative policy on what the proper protocol is for refunding for those rebates, and making sure that whoever does apply for a rebate, those funds are available, with the understanding that once they're exhausted during this fiscal year, like any other line item, then there's no more funds within that budget. Some of the key projects in the water and wastewater have really just been based on what the what both departments proposed to me. They had a pretty expansive wish list. Two things I want to point out is that one of the things that I kept in Mike's budget on the wastewater side, because I think it's important, is we're going to be purchasing what they call variable frequency drives and dissolved oxygen meters. If you look at the wastewater electrical cost, I drove that down considerably. It's one of the largest operating components in the wastewater department. But we got to get our electrical cost under control down there. We got to be much more greenhouse friendly, if you will. And we're running 100 horsepower motors continuously. So what I did find is money within the budget to ramp those motors way down and interface them with some things on the plant. I did take the $100,000 that they're asking for out of from SCADA, from the wastewater plant, and I'll tell you why. We're in the process right now of doing our ECA, which is our Environmental Compliance Act, that was our Environmental Compliance Order. I'm forgetting. And what was agreed upon in that settlement, and this is a question that Director Rice had also, is that we would design 10% of the plant, have a complete design of 10% of the plant for to address the nitrate issue and to address some other deficiencies. So I think it's prudent, and I met with Mike early this morning, that we hold off on spending $100,000 on a SCADA down there at the plant until we have a better understanding of what we want to do with that plant, and he was okay with that. But what I do propose is the money that we save from the electrical cost at mid-year budget adjustment, which I anticipate will probably be between $30,000 and $50,000, is that we take that revenue and then we possibly put it back into wastewater upgrades. On the water side, I had put, we need to start addressing the replacement of our meters. I think we've all talked about that. There is a next generation of meters available right now that we're really excited about. And it allows real-time data through smartphones. You can dial up an app on your phone and say, okay, well, you know, you don't have to stick those things on the refrigerator anymore. And so what I did is I allocated to replace 10% of the meters within the system. And those are the dials, the actual dials and buying the software. I budgeted on page 14 of the water budget, I budgeted $8,815 for Badger Meter software and pilot program. I would still like to keep that $8,815 in there because what Badger will do is they'll give us a certain amount of meters to use as a test program. And I have $60,000 for Badger Meter, radio read meter, dial-in transmitters, replace 10% of the current inventory. And then you look down at radio reads, dial-in transmitters, the meter installation labor of $20,000. So there's $80,000 right there. Well, I got a call from Justin late last night, and he said, Jerry, you took out, here's what he said, quote, Jerry, you took out my data recorder. You took out my SCADA at the wastewater that would collect all the data from the new EWS, the emergency water supply system, and that's going to collect all the data from all the other sites that I've been upgrading. And you took out 40K for my radios out at San Simeon. I need to have that because when we put the emergency water system up online, everything needs to communicate to each other. It all needs to be interfaced. And I said, I'll tell you what, if the board is okay with me going with this pilot program for 6 months or a year, buying the software, deferring the $80,000 of the 10% meter installation, replacement with installation, and allow me to spend $30,000 on your SCADA at wastewater and $40,000 on your radios and SCADA out at San Simeon, and an additional $10,000 for miscellaneous cost override, I can do that. But what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to go back to the board and ask for an additional $80,000 out of your water budget. Are you okay with that? So I want you to know that the water supervisor agreed with that, and Mike also agreed. When you look at the wastewater budget, you'll see that I axed $100,000 on the SCADA. After meeting with him this morning, he was also okay with he wanted to be able to bring an assistant chief in and train him him or her, to transition into that position. We just can't afford to have that extra person on hand right now. But a couple months prior to his departure, I would like to get the board input, but also have the community involved in that process and make sure that whoever replaces Chief Miller is somebody that has the qualities and the traits that the community is looking for and the board's looking for and the general manager is looking for. So that's one thing that we just could not afford to do. The second thing is that Chief Miller wanted some kind of administrative staff up there to support the fire department, and I support that, I really do. But we just can't afford to have that either. And then the third issue is the second fire truck is pretty darn old. It's about 25 years old, and he wants to be able to replace that. And so he's got some quotes. There are some creative funding mechanisms that will be allowed, enable us to look at that in the future and not just say no. And so my commitment to the fire department and to him was I'm aware of these needs, but right now we just can't afford to address any of those. One thing that I would like to say is this budget doesn't represent any staff layoffs. It represents staff consolidations. It represents staff efficiencies, but it doesn't represent staff layoffs. And that was really my goal when I talked to the department managers, that I didn't want to have to come to my board and say, I can't afford your position anymore, or your position. It does represent quite a bit of reduction. I think the nice part about this budget, the encouraging part about it, is it's going to allow us to maybe step back a little bit instead of trying to do too much too quickly and really utilize the revenues that we have and think long and hard about our expenditures. And I've challenged each one of the departments to ask the question when you're dealing with a vendor, is this the best price you can do? And you would be amazed that people in public service don't like to ask that question. I do all the time when I'm buying something. Is, you know, do you have any coupons? I know you can't get coupons for fire trucks and stuff, but you'll be surprised that if they want to continue to do business with you and that they will, and they want to, they understand how difficult and challenging municipal times are right now, that they will give you. Also, the frequency of buying. I think that's something that we as an organization have, and I'll be quiet here in a minute, is that we think that as supervisors, and I've shared this, and so it's nothing new to my staff, is that we're in the business of buying. You know. Well, this cost allocation is directly proportional to the activities within the different departments. In other words, if we have to process more checks and we have to process more all those things, it drives their cost allocation up. And so what I'm encouraging them to do is to really think about when you purchase something, see if you can do it less frequently but maybe in a larger quantity, which would in turn get you a better price. And the Water and Wastewater Department, the guys there have done a really, really good job. We were talking today about how we're not seeing as many invoices coming through AP and AR and things like that. So, I'll be quiet, and if there's any other questions I can answer.
Any other members of the board have?
But I do want to take from a board position of saying, I don't really want to see at a future time board members or members of the public constantly asking the question of, on each one of these little bitty items, why you missed it by a dollar or two each side. I think that's what we pay you for. And it's nice to have this for the start, but what I'm most concerned with is the expenditures of the category. That's where I'm my concern, and I think the board's concern ought to be, is that category expenditures are what we might be looking at. I'm not particularly concerned about whether it's supplies or lab tests or what the change in matter there is. I think that's between you and your staff members for your discussions there. So I appreciate all of the information. Sometimes, and that's good for transparency and how you came up with a figure for that category. But in the future, I would be looking at the category figures rather than the individual ones. An example of your discussion here with trade-offs with your managers that make sense and stay within the category number. I think that's why we pay the general manager and the finance and the managers to come up with that decision. I'm always intrigued with administrative overhead. If you go to page 28, which is the administrative department, the first figure there of $1.2 million actually is charges to the other departments. And so, in effect, this minus 83 means that the other departments are paying $83,000 less in expenditures than they did in the previous, and that's good. And so I'm more concerned with that administrative overhead expenses don't get out of control, because although you pointed out that it is improper to use water and wastewater as a means to finance general funds. This is an area in which you always have to be alert because it is a way to fund general funds by water and wastewater rates. And so had this been, you know, if you were going into a rate study and a rate, talking about a rate increase, and this was an increasing number, I would be very concerned. I'm glad that it is a decreasing number because it does reflect that the other departments are not are getting some kind of a break in the expenses that they're having to pay for administrative overhead. Other than that, I appreciate all of the work. It's a budget that's we're going to have to, if it comes out perfect, and no budget ever does, all budgets are just our roadmaps rather than exact numbers. We'll have to take some money out of excess funds or whatever you want to call them. But all in all, I think it's one that we can live with, and one that, depending on what the economy changes and things, it may still be able to come out as a fairly even budget.
Well said, and Director Robinette.
Okay, and on that too, I just wanted to comment a bit. I think the budget that we see here in the format, the presentation, and the detail, I like categories. Actually, I like bottom lines. I like big picture. However, I think it is so good to have full disclosure, full transparency, and certainly you have gone over and beyond on ensuring that everyone sees everything. It's really good sometimes because we don't always see the sort of the backstory or what's behind a category. And I believe even with like personnel costs, I think it's really important that people see what's the full bottom line to personnel cost. Is it their salary? No, it's not just their salary. It is health benefits. It is retirement. It is CalSTRS. It is the COLA. It is all of these other things that I think give people a much better idea of even just questions we have like, well, why does that cost that much? It's because there's a lot of detail to what makes up the bottom line. And so while I certainly know and expect we won't have this kind of comprehensive report all the time at our regular budget meetings, I think in building the budget, it's critical we all see exactly how we came out with what we did. I think you've all done a tremendous job with the department heads. I think it's probably been quite a professional development, staff development opportunity for everyone to really get this involved as a department head. Coming out with an overall decrease, because we need that overall of a 13% reduction, is really suggesting that we're getting as lean as we can, and yet certainly not, I don't feel we're within the budget that you've presented, that when these key things come up, like what the water supervisor, Justin, suggested, there certainly is always still that give and take, too. So I appreciate that. And I'm excited about this thing we're going to start doing with the Badger meters, too. It's a small step, but I think it's going to be really valuable information using technology and seeing if we can't, as individuals, ratepayers, can't have better access to how we manage our own water use.
One final comment that I'd like to make is, yeah, I think that just as we did the emergency water supply project, we forecasted a worst-case scenario on how much the emergency water supply project would cost, the worst-case scenario on how much fee recouping we need to get, and we might have some happy circumstances come out, but we may not. I believe that this budget says that even though we continue to dip a little bit into that LAIF account. We shouldn't be doing so, and it's as draconian as you're just trying to match income with expenses. So when we do resume the rate structure, I'm sure that no department head is happy with this budget. No, your administrative circumstances aren't happy with it. But if we can come up with some relief in a rate, this shows that in the worst case you can do it without it. But we need to address those issues because we can't continue to defer things forever. So I think that if I'm right, this is the worst case scenario in a way, because we're not going to sell much water, and you know, there's no hope of actually doing much more. And we can't, if we don't change the rates, this is what we're faced with. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I think you know, to kind of categorize, you know, staff, I think that they absolutely support the direction this board is going. You've taken some pretty bold steps to resolve once and for all the water situation within the community. So I think they get it. I think they stand behind you, and they stand behind me, and they understand that ultimately you're also committed to making sure that the rate structure, whatever it is in the future, is going to be able to meet their needs. I think it's important that we took a worst case scenario because, you know, there are some real opportunities here with the grant funding, the Proposition 84, and hopefully maybe taking a percentage of those funds and putting it back into our general funds to bring that fund balance, not the reserves, fund balance back up, and also to, you know, just to, I think. I'm kind of an optimist. I don't really look at it as, I think there's a lot of good opportunities in the future. I really do. And we're addressing some of these.
Excellent. Well, I'm getting ready to adjourn. I hope that I've addressed it. No. Oh, okay. Sure. I didn't see it. More than one? Okay. We'll start with Ms. Dickinson on a public comment, I suppose, on the subject. Okay, hit it. I'm sorry, I missed it. I got another one too.
It's getting
great. No, that was she did that earlier. That was kind of a general.
We misplaced her.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's here. I got it.
Senior moment, I guess. Huh? Okay, Tina Dickinson again. Thank you, Ms. Fuller, for your presentation on the budget today. While I may not agree with everything that is being discussed and has been put on paper here, at least it was probably the best we've had thus far since I've lived here. Okay, that said, I have a question on revenues, first line property taxes and assessments. Could you please explain to me, you said there was a 2.1% increase for the next budget year. When I looked at the 2014 amount of $2,270.50, and I deducted that from the $2,379.30, I came up with $1,083.80, which certainly doesn't represent 2.1%. So how did you get to that figure?
Sure, you can answer the questions.
The 2.2%, it is confusing in here, and I do apologize for that. The 2.1% refers to the best estimate that we have from the county of San Luis Obispo of what we're going to get for 2014 increased by 2.1%, and it is only property taxes. You also have in this budget, there are actually two items that show up in that line item, property taxes, and there's also an assessment.
I know, but yeah. 2.1%, according to my figure, comes out to $475,806. So I'm, you know, all we've got here is 1,083.
I'll have to bring the detailed numbers.
Yeah,
well,
that's considerable. Yeah. So I just point that out because that's revenue, and we need it. So Director Robinette, you mentioned the word forecasting. Yes, a very important word that I believe this board didn't even consider. Forecasting in a second year of drought, where they, their goals and objectives were to lift the moratorium and pass an ordinance to issue intent to serves. Nothing could have been more ridiculous from the most of the Cambria's community. And now we find ourselves with not a $2 million emergency water supply project, but from what I got back when I got from vacation, $11 million, $10.86 million with $350,000 estimated for maintenance. Nothing said about energy. So this is absolutely shocking, unbelievable. I don't know quite how Cambrians are going to absorb all this. And when you talk about conservation, I can't imagine a town anywhere having conserved as much as this town has. And to even consider that they need to be educated by someone on the Scarecrow Festival board, that with they can teach us how to conserve, is an insult. Now, the SCADA general manager, I want to see these guys in the Water and Wastewater Department have the full use of SCADA. SCADA is what will help prevent so many of the problems we've been seeing. I think it's critical that Justin and whoever else, that they not be deprived of what we've spent so much money on already, but that we get that up for sure and have it running so that they can detect these issues before they come down. You talk about overtime. All the leaks in the system have been mostly what have created overtime expenses. There are a zillion things, but I do think a lot of work's gone into this. I know that I am about as one bath a week is really one bath a week. I had my first bath today, or shower, you know, first bath in a week. And my hair gets washed once a week when I take the shower or the bath. I mean, this is, talk about conservation. So I do a sponge bath every day, as Mr. Lee Bailey, I read in the Cambrian when I got back, also is doing, and I'm sure others are too. So while we are being as frugal as we possibly can, I don't see the need for new meters right now. I don't, why? I mean, we're struggling. The meters are working fine. I don't see that as a critical need at this juncture. I really think there are other things that need to be addressed. I thank you for what you have done, but I honestly think sometimes, please have some folks from the community who really do know how to be extremely frugal and save, not just with water, but in every aspect, that we're felt that maybe our expertise might be able to be of some use going forward. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Dickinson. And Ms. Webb?
Thank you, Mary Webb, Cambria. And I'd like to thank Tracy, too. I think that was a really, you know, probably one of the best budget reports we've ever had, and it's got more detail in it than I've seen down here for a really long time. Unfortunately, we're getting all the detail now that we only have 1.8 million yet left. I wish we would have had the detail when we had like $9 million, but oh well, we'll take it now. I am concerned about conservation. I appreciate Director Rice's comments about making sure that we fund conservation to the most that we possibly can. There is no money, it looks like, for any kind of lot retirement or, you know, build-out reduction, which is another big issue here. I'm concerned about the amount of money that's being saved by combining jobs in administration, by combining administrative services with the district clerk, by combining a building and a conservation job, you know, putting front desk down to 28 hours a week. I mean, I think we're really cutting that probably way too much. And what I'm wondering is, with our property tax money being 2.3 million, why are we not cutting anything from the $1.7 million fire department budget? That is wrong to me. That budget in 2005 was 1.1 million, and now it's 1.7. And, you know, I know it may be a political issue, and, you know, I don't really care. Someone needs to say, we need to cut this fire department. It's, if you look every single month at the amount of fires we put out, compared to how many medical runs that they're taking these this very expensive equipment and all this expensive gas running around in these fire trucks to answer medical calls instead of letting just the medical community health services do it. I just don't understand that. We should not be taking all the money out of the administration. But anyway, so for $2.3 million coming in on property taxes, of that, $3.1 million is being spent on general government administration and fire department. So is that what Director Clift was saying when our property taxes, that it's where's the other $1 million coming from? Our water rates? Is that what's paying for administration? Our water rates are going to administration rather than, you know, it's always the it's always being discussed that we don't pay enough in water rates to support the water and wastewater fund. Well, if we're spending out $1 million out of our water wastewater rates to fund administration in the fire department, that's why.
Good point. Let's take a look at that. Thank you very much. And
before I go, Clive Finchamp, I fell down this morning, so
okay.
I can't really get up readily.
Please speak for as seated.
So, this sounds crazy, but as a former mechanic, things don't wear out. Trucks don't wear out. You can rebuild the engine. You can put new tires on. You can rebuild the carburetor. You can put the lights in. All of that can be done for one-tenth of what it would cost to buy a new fire truck.
Amen.
Well,
you know,
your point is well taken.
I think. Did it for years. I worked as a mechanic, and it's all, metal doesn't wear out. It gets bigger, expands, it, you know, you can bore out an engine. There's all kinds of things you can do to save money on a fire truck. And I asked Ken Hart, my friend, who's been here since the early, late 60s, if he's ever seen a fire that ever burned more than one house, and he said no, and I'm sure there must be, but the point is the fire department doesn't need much, you know, and Mary's right. Well, why are we spending all this money when we don't need to?
Thank you. Thank you, Claire. With that, I'll adjourn.
Hang on a second. Let me.
I wanted to clarify something,
first,
too.
First, we have a clarification from Mr. Clift, then followed by Director Rice, Robinette, and I have one other thing to say, too.
Just to respond to Ms. Webb's comments, on each of the pages where you can look down for allocated overhead for that department, that's the amount when you combine all those together comes up to that, where you go back to page 28 and come up to the 1.2 million. So you can see what each department is assigned in terms of allocated overhead. So I like the fire department is $302,000. And allocated overhead is the personnel work and all the things that is done within the general administration for a particular department. But each of the, that's one of the, that used to be it was divided between so-called personnel and operations, and now they've combined it into one number, which I thank Tracy for that. And so each, when you look at each of the department ones, the allocated overhead is the amount that is being charged to that department. And if that department is a water department or a wastewater department, yes, then it's coming out as part of the rate making for that particular department. Okay.
Okay. Ms. Robinette for another clarification.
Yes, and I just wanted to respond to what you had said on the fire truck, just to make it perfectly clear that, and I certainly agree, this wouldn't be the time to be looking at that kind of expenditure, and of course repairs can keep things going a long time, but just to absolutely clarify that we do not and did not consider having a fire truck replacement.
Thank you.
Please, if you have one more comment, are you all set?
I just have a quick one.
If it applies to the budget. Okay, good.
absolutely.
Of course.
I usually don't violate that. Okay, but here's a scenario. The other night, my 93-year-old neighbor, I was out gardening, two fire trucks come up, first Cal Fire in their lovely old fire truck, and CCSD in their shining, beautiful, newer fire truck. and then an ambulance. And she was taken to the hospital by ambulance. All I can say is when I go to Claremont or I go to L.A., I don't see these great big fancy fire trucks. So I'm sorry, Fire Chief Miller, you're axed, because we're not gonna pay for it. Get the grant you were talking about, but quite frankly, we don't need another fire truck. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you very much
for letting me say it.
And if I can make one final comment, I think I've addressed most of Director Rice's comments. Monique, if you have a couple of extra copies of this email, you can put it in the back in case I didn't. One thing that she did mention that we should mention is that there's a Friday the 20th at Morro Bay Veterans Memorial Hall from 9 to 11 a.m., there's a review of the IRWM plan revisions with the community. So if you can contact her for those informations. I think it's the Integrated Resource Water Management Plan. So that's just a general announcement. With that said,
President Berger?
Yes, sir.
And we did, and Tracy and I answered the questions, and so what we'll do is we'll send those answers to Director Rice, and we just didn't get a chance to get to it yesterday because we were putting this together. So we answered all the questions, and we'll make sure all the board gets answers to all those questions too. So we did take the time to answer them all, and apologize for not getting those answers.
And I wish you had been here. Actually, I hope that, but we also have important business throughout the county. With that said, the meeting is now adjourned.